The UN Refugee Agency says that the world's refugees now number over 50 million for the first time since World War II. One of the main challenges, shelter. Now, we're used to seeing a sea of white and blue UN refugee tents or displaced people living in shelters of mud and sticks with tin roofs. But these don't provide protection from rain and cold and intruders. They don't provide electricity. Now, the IKEA Foundation, a nonprofit arm of the well-known store, has teamed with the UN Refugee Agency and a not-for-profit called Better Shelter to create just that, a better shelter for refugees. And they say that in IKEA fashion, it takes about 4 hours to assemble with few tools, and they have consulted with refugees around the world to get their input on what makes a better shelter. The IKEA Foundation's head of strategic planning is Jonathan Spampinato. He joins us from Amsterdam, where they're based. And Jonathan, listeners can see pictures at herenow.org, but start by describing the shelter.
Sure. The shelter looks a lot like maybe a small modular garden storage or shed that you would maybe buy in the West and put out in your backyard. 6.5 feet tall, 7 feet tall in the dead center. And it's a couple of feet wide and 2 or 3 times as long. And it's made out of a polymer that was invented just for this product. But that's what it looks like. It's pretty simple and straightforward.
We'll talk about that because the research into this has been going on for a while. There are some families living in these shelters to experiment with them. They are refugee families?
Yes, indeed. Back in 2013, we started prototyping to see if they actually worked as they were supposed to work, and then also looked for maybe better design elements that we overlooked that we want to add to it. And so there are about 50 families living in shelters, mainly in Iraq and areas where you see a lot of Syrian families moving to.
What a thing to be a displaced person and your head spinning and then suddenly IKEA comes. But what is the role of IKEA?
The role of IKEA, really. So I'm with the IKEA Foundation, and our mission at the foundation is to create better opportunities for children living in the world's poorest communities. And we've got three big priorities, and one of them is helping refugee children and families. And the shelter project emerged from that mission. There's about 50 million refugees in the world right now, and about 15 million of those refugees rely on the UN to provide housing and shelter for them in UNHCR refugee camps. And of those 15 plus or minus million families or people living in camps right now, 60% of them are children.
So you are supporting the Better Shelter people. What is the material developed?
Yeah, it's this really cool polymer. It's a plastic, essentially. But it's different than other polymers because we were particularly focused on creating one that would be strong enough to give this shelter some rigidity and durability and strong enough to withstand flat packing, but also do a couple of other things as well. For example, act as an insulator so that in the summer it kept the heat out a little bit, and in the winter the opposite. So that's really the core ideas driving the invention of this polymer.
And then talk about some of the others. And again, many of them came from refugees. Light and windows and electricity.
It's amazing. There's a lot of stuff packed in this little shelter. The designers came up with this clever little photovoltaic cell, which is attached to the unit and can be moved around as well. That provides power to the inside of the shelter, which is something refugee families live without right now. In most camps, they're living in tents, and most of those tents, the only power that they have is a semi-dangerous power. It's burning dung inside in an open pit to cook their food inside the tent itself. So this PVC that will be attached to the new shelter, it'll power a cell phone, for example, give you enough juice for a cell phone to run it for half the day. But it'll also have an electric outlet so that other things can be plugged in that need to be recharged.
Or you can plug in a lamp. And thinking about how important it would be to have just some illumination or maybe a TV you can turn on for an hour and see the news from the war zone you've escaped. It's something you take for granted.
Exactly. And that's a big part of this project. So a lot of these parts of the shelter that you and I are talking about right now are kind of physical, tangible pieces that are really important to the shelter functioning. But just as important as safety and security is something a lot less tangible, dignity. And I think a lot of those things that you're talking about, giving a sense of normalcy to people in these situations, is really about giving them a sense of dignity, of humanity back.
Yeah. And by the way, everybody involved in this project agrees that the biggest effort should go into ending the conflicts that have forced these people to be refugees, but in the meantime, what to do about them. And part of having dignity is having privacy. Instead of a tent flap, you have a door that will lock.
Yes, there's these clever little modular doors that have little locks on them. And if you can imagine, you know, one of the things, for example, and I think maybe you really begin to see the sense why dignity is really important, and it's not just a luxury that that would be nice to be able to give people. Well, as soon as we put these shelters out for testing, a family in Ethiopia gave birth 2 days later in the shelter. Now, obviously, you can easily extrapolate and realize that lots of families are giving birth to children in these tents, are raising kids in these tents. And I think also they're not quite as temporary as people tend to think. These families that move into these shelters in the tents in a camp on average spend 15 to 17 years in a refugee camp. Mm. It's not a kind of quick 6 month kind of holdover until you're able to go back home. In many instances, the families never are able to go back home.
Yeah. Well, and of course, another reason to want a locked door is a huge problem in these teeming refugee camps is the assault on women.
Yes.
There's privacy there. But it sounds great. It looks great. We're looking at the pictures, windows you can open for ventilation. But they cost twice as much as the tents. So two questions. How does the world afford this? And how do you make a dent? 10,000 sounds like a great number of shelters to roll out with five people in each one, you estimate. But there's millions who need them, 50 million.
Yes. And part of our strategy is to bring the price down as we bring this to scale. Part of the way the foundation in general works, but especially this project, we look for small partners that can come up with innovative new ideas, and then we help fund those ideas in what they call proof of concepts, but show the world or show certain people like the UNHCR that the concept could work, make any changes that need to, and then scale it up. So we always look for a partner that can come up with a cool idea that's innovative, and then a much larger partner that can bring that idea to the many people that need it.
Well, where does the money come from?
So it comes from the UNHCR. I would say every day Better Shelters is inundated with calls from people who are interested in buying them just as an individual donation, but also from very large organizations. We had a call from a very large charity, and we're in the middle of negotiating a very large donation to the UNHCR that is earmarked to pay for these shelters. But we need to bring the price down. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Right now, if you compare the price, it's about $1,100 US for the shelter compared to purchase price of around $500 for the tents that UNHCR is currently using. But that's, I would say, too simple way to look at the price. If instead you look at, if you buy a shelter for $1,100, it lasts for 3 years. If you buy a tent for $500, it lasts for 6 months. So when you compare the two, it's $3,000 to pay for a tent to house a family for 3 years versus $1,100 with the shelter. So the tent is a lot more expensive than the shelter is, but we do need to bring the price down and get as many people as possible excited about this so that there's a lot of enthusiasm, which leads to a lot of donations to the UNHCR. But we envision this as being a product that'll be available in lots of different markets as well. As you can imagine, it's not just refugee families that are often living in temporary housing. You know, there's a crisis right now in Nepal. There are, you know, all sorts of crises in communities all over the world where people are looking for a short-term solution for how to put somebody to bed at night with a family in a place better than just a tent.
Yeah. I have a thought. Why didn't you put a little ticket at the checkout counter? Who knows? I mean, people might be, you know, right there. You know how you can give to different charities as you check out of various stores? Maybe if IKEA maybe picked up half, people would pick up the other half, sell them right there at the checkout at IKEA.
Oh, that's a great idea. And you know, you give me a perfect opportunity to tell you about another little program that we're running that's related to this. We have another partnership with the UN Refugee Agency, the UNHCR, and it's called Brighter Lives for Refugees. And we sell LED light bulbs in the stores. Mm-hmm. And during the campaign period, for every LED light bulb sold, we donate €1 to the UN Refugee Program for a specific project that we set up to bring renewable energy and lights into the camps to deal with things like you were talking about earlier. So the wheels are turning. I've already, you've just given me some other ideas for how we can get these shelters into use during our in-store campaigns.
Well, Jonathan, good luck to you.
Thank you very much for your interest.
That's Jonathan Spampinato, head of strategic planning at the IKEA Foundation. He's speaking to us from the Netherlands about their backing of the Better Shelter. Jonathan, thanks again.
Thank you for having me.